This is Jared Bush from the Green Bay Packers, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. It's Monday, our review day at Cheesehead TV, and we are reviewing a Packers win. Packers stay alive in the playoff chase in the hopes that they can actually win the NFC North Division. Things were looking bleak for the Packers. Very bleak. Like, at halftime, you were probably getting ready for the NFL draft come the spring. But something happened at halftime. The Packers find a way to get the job done against, albeit, a bad Atlanta Falcons team. But a win is a win. And they get the help of the Philadelphia Eagles. The Detroit Lions actually lose on Sunday in that snow globe of a football game that was happening out in Philadelphia, which was absolutely ridiculous. But yes, the Packers win. And who is the hero but Packers cornerback Jarrett Bush? Who would have thunk it, right? Jarrett Bush. Here's the guy who has been reviled by Packers fans for seasons, sometimes unfairly, sometimes fairly. He didn't get off to a good start in Green Bay. We'll just say that. He actually came to the Packers in 2007, and his rookie year was kind of thrust into action probably before he was ready. As the Packers nickelback in 2007, end up, you know, giving up a lot of completions, ended up being benched, and actually was kind of the GOAT in the NFC Championship game that year, in which he muffed a punt and the New York Giants recovered. And of course, we all know the outcome of that game. The Giants go on to win the NFC Championship and go on to be in the Super Bowl. So things didn't start out too well. Since that time, however, Jarrett Bush has had his problems, especially on defense in coverage from time to time. But he's played the hero a fair amount as well. Getting, of course, the interception in the Super Bowl. Providing very good special teams play over the past several seasons. A playoff captain on special teams the past, 4 years running. And then on Sunday, with the Packers' playoff hopes in limbo practically, Jarrett Bush makes an impact on two big plays. The first being breaking up a pass on a fourth down on the Falcons' penultimate drive of the game. And then they miraculously force a punt and get the ball back with, what was it, a minute remaining. And Jarrett Bush comes away with the game-sealing interception to catapult the Packers to victory. And again, of course, staying alive in their hopes that they can possibly claim a division title and qualify for the NFC playoffs. Quite a performance from Jarrett Bush. An unlikely hero, but one that is refreshing to see nonetheless. You know, so often it's the hero is Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay and everybody else is just kind of the supporting cast. Well, Jarrett Bush was the star on Sunday and a well-deserved honor. Hopefully he got a game ball for his efforts because he deserves it, and it was nice to see. And yeah, so the Packers staying alive, I mean, that's the key factor here. I mean, I saw it. I don't know what organization puts out these odds of making the playoffs, but I think I saw it was somewhere around the Packers had a chance of making the playoffs prior to yesterday's game of about 5%. And then following both the Packers win and the Lions loss, those odds rise to about 15%. And, you know, there's no guarantee here that the Packers are going to make the playoffs, but they look a whole lot better after a win and a Lions loss than any other of the outcomes that could have happened yesterday. Packers still have to win out. Well, they technically don't have to win out mathematically. They could technically lose one if the Lions lose two. Here's what happens now is it's now Aaron Rodgers' watch, as if it hasn't been for the past month plus over the Packers' five-game winless streak. But now it starts anew and kind of with renewed optimism that the Packers can actually make the playoffs here. And it's coming at a time when all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers is going to start to get healthy. I mean, you have to think that he's on the brink of returning. I'm not making any guarantees. It doesn't sound like there's going to be any guarantees that he plays this week, but it's certainly a better shot of that happening than it was a week ago, a month ago, any other time. And the Packers, you know, basically needing a win against the Cowboys on the road coming up kind of makes for an interesting Monday night football game this evening. The Cowboys and the Bears play, two opponents that the Packers will still face with just three games remaining in the season. In just six short days, they play the Cowboys on the road. And, you know, as for the Bears, of course, being a division opponent and a bitter rival, the Bears are a half game ahead of the Packers. The Packers need them to lose, but the Packers also play the Bears in the regular season finale at Soldier Field to end the season. But regardless, still be interesting to check out a good Monday night football game tonight. Kind of checking in on two teams the Packers will be playing eventually. But anyway, you know, the guy filling in for Aaron Rodgers did such a good job yesterday, Matt Flynn. People, he got off to a slow start, of course, in the first half. And I think they're, you know, watching social media, of course, people were calling for Scott Tolzien to play. That's just the way social media and Twitter works, right? But Matt Flynn really wasn't playing bad, but it looked really bad when, before halftime, of course, Sean Weatherspoon, the Falcons linebacker, comes up with the pinball interception return for a touchdown, kicked up in the air and miraculously saved, kept alive. Weatherspoon grabs it, rumbles 71 yards. And at that point in the game, where the Packers go down by, you know, what were they? They were down by 11 points at halftime, I believe. And combined, coupled with, at the time, the Lions were leading the Eagles. The Eagles had to come back to win. At that point, you're just like, it was about the lowest you could possibly get for a Packers fan. Coming off a five-game winless streak. Coming off the depressing defeat in Detroit on Thanksgiving. And to see him be down 11 points at halftime, that was just the low of lows. But then everything turns around. Matt Flynn, you know, doesn't look like Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, does enough to direct a Packers victory and get the Packers the win. You know, Matt Flynn completes 24 out of 32 passes, 258 yards, tosses a touchdown. And we could talk about the game-winning touchdown here early in the fourth quarter. Comes to another unlikely hero Tight end Andrew Corliss plays basically the best game of his career, has career highs in receptions and yards, 6 for 66 yards, and catches that winning touchdown pass in the corner of the end zone early in the fourth quarter. The Packers still down, and it ends up becoming the decisive score in the game. There was still a lot of football to be played, but it was the last score of the game, and puts the Packers up 22-21. How about Andrew Corliss, kind of a forgotten man in Green Bay? Not, I mean, maybe not forgotten, but I mean, all of a sudden, JerMichael Finley goes down for the season, and the Packers haven't gotten anything from the tight end position, and they finally did on Sunday. Andrew Corliss coming up with the best game of his career, and kudos to him. He's not exactly been the same player he has, you know, prior to that terrible knee injury in which he tore several ligaments, basically missed a season and a half as he tried to come back. He's slowly been getting better. I don't know if he'll ever be the same player he was. His blocking hasn't been quite as good. I think part of it has to do with the strength in his leg from that reconstructed knee. But he found ways to get open, and he caught the football, and it proved very timely when the Packers needed it most. When they were all but declared for dead by halftime, Andrew Corliss helps the Packers come up with a big game on Sunday. So good to see these unlikely heroes like Jarrett Bush, like Andrew Corliss, getting the job done. And in addition to Bush, I mean, the Packers' defense played better than they had in the past 2 months, probably, right? I mean, basically, ever since this winless streak began, they've been looking terrible, both versus the run and the pass. But all of a sudden, they showed signs of life, and it really was refreshing to see. And again, coming from unlikely sources, coming from Jarrett Bush, the Packers finally make the switch to M.D. Jennings in the secondary taking over, Sean Richardson taking over for M.D. Jennings in the secondary. If you ask me, it came three series too late, you know, after the Packers are already down by more than a score. All of a sudden, then they insert Sean Richardson. And hey, I mean, you could make the argument that he deserved to be in there before Sunday, a game ago, 2 games ago. Packers getting terrible safety play. Not getting anything better from Morgan Burnett, by the way. He is having an absolute downer of a season. But as the guy who you give a $24 million contract extension or whatever odd number it was, basically, he's got to stay out there. And albeit, Morgan Burnett does do a good job of filling lanes, filling holes in the running game when he's running north and south. But in coverage this year, forget it. When he's got to go chase somebody, he doesn't have the speed to catch up. All those kind of things are negative tallies in the Morgan Burnett column. But anyway, Sean Richardson comes in, and the Packers from that point on basically played some solid defense, for several punts on the game. I'm trying to look, how many times did the Falcons punt? 4 times in the game? Sean Richardson didn't do anything special, but he didn't make any mistakes. And I guess that's kind of the silver lining here, and maybe a little bit of a turning point in the season. I mean, not making any mistakes is certainly a whole lot better than seeing a bunch of mistakes. You know, if Sean Richardson ends up without any interceptions, hey, at least if he's not getting beat, I mean, we'll take that as a step forward. Hopefully at some point he can be a playmaker. But we took a baby step. The Packers took a baby step on Sunday. So that is certainly good. But I mean, it didn't stop there, though. I mean, there was one play in particular that got the Packers back into the game, and that was the play that set up that game-winning touchdown by Andrew Corliss. the play that helped the Packers regain possession of the football when they were in Falcons territory. That was the forced fumble by linebacker Mike Neal and recovered by defensive lineman Johnny Jolly. So kudos to Mike Neal forcing that, basically a strip sack of quarterback Matt Ryan, in which the ball rolls around, Johnny Jolly falls on it, and the rest is history. The Packers go on to score. But what a play of the game, you know. I mean, that really, right there, basically changed the outcome of the game. Might have been the play of the game, from a Packers standpoint, at least. I think a lot of people will point to that 71-yard interception return as the play of the game, and how wild that was. But anyway, I mean, how about Johnny Jolly as well, coming up with a big game for the Green Bay Packers? Here's a guy who I thought it was a great story early in the year. Of course, Johnny Jolly comes back, makes the team coming out of training camp, and that alone, just making the team after being suspended for 3 seasons, is a great feel-good story. And Jolly, I think, really started off the year well. But as the Packers go on this winless streak, Johnny Jolly has, first of all, fought injuries, and that hasn't helped. But just kind of played average, if not below average, during the losing streak. And then he really busted out. I mean, the fumble recovery is just kind of a product of being in the right place at the right time. But he also batted down a pass. He also had a nice 2-yard tackle for a loss. He had like 5 tackles on the day. Johnny Jolly really stepped it up. I see John on the live blog says he just brings an attitude. And yeah, he does. Johnny Jolly is the man. He was on Sunday, at least, in the win over the Falcons. And that really was good to see. Packers getting the job done on special teams. How about Mason Crosby going 3 for 3 on field goals? I think some fans were angry to see the Packers kicking field goals instead of going for it on fourth down. I think that was a terrific decision by head coach Mike McCarthy to kick the field goals. I think you take the points. It was too early in the game to go for it on fourth and then come away empty. I mean, who knows? Maybe the Packers convert the fourth down, but, you know, ends up working the Packers' way. And Mason Crosby going 3 for 3 in that cold weather. I haven't even mentioned the weather yet and the empty stands, partially because of the weather and partially because the Packers are playing bad and partially because Aaron Rodgers wasn't playing. But yeah, ends up being a cold day, has some snow flurries a little bit. A brutally cold day, which makes it so tough on the kickers and punters. But Mason Crosby getting it done. Something to watch going forward. Mason Crosby, I think it's if he finishes the year over 85% on his field goals, he gets like that $2 million bonus at the end of the year. There's only 3 games left, and right now he's hovering right above 85%. I think he's like at 87, 88%, somewhere right around there. So, I mean, he can even afford to miss a kick or two, but he can't miss too many with 3 games remaining because he's got $2 million. It's like halftime, those halftime shows where you see they'll pull out somebody out of the audience to go try to kick a field goal that is, you know, just is so many times just average Joe kicking field goals. It's like hopeless, even if it's from like 12 yards away. There's that kind of pressure on Mason Crosby. He's certainly better than Joe Schmo. Technically, he's been one of the best kickers in the NFL this year, statistically. And so, he's on the brink of a $2 million bonus if he can keep it up. And to keep it up in cold weather, that'll really be a challenge. But not just him. Tim Maste has a good day punting the ball. The Packers actually getting the returning the football out past the 30. I've never been so excited to see a team return kickoffs past the 30-yard line in my life. And it shouldn't be that special. But that's how bad the Packers' special teams have been this year. Coverage units getting it done. Micah Hyde doing just fine out there on returns. Nothing special, but hey, he averaged 25 yards on kickoff returns. That's a positive. So Packers getting it done basically in all three phases of the game. Eddie Lacy, how about him? Becoming the Packers' rookie leader in touchdowns, breaking the franchise record for touchdowns by a rookie in a single season with his seventh of the year rushing the football. And I kind of almost regret leaving Eddie Lacy out of my post-game chips report. If I had to do it again, I would probably include Eddie Lacy because he didn't do anything really special. I mean, look at the statistics. He averaged 3.3 yards a carry. But considering, you know, he carried the ball 20 times, he fought for the tough yards, and he did it on a sprained ankle, basically. To do all that was simply remarkable. In fact, the lowest point of the game probably not came after that interception return for a score, but right before halftime, the Packers get the ball back with, you know, what was it, 30 seconds on the clock or so. They decide to run three plays and get Eddie Lacy banged up in the process, actually sprains his ankle when the Packers just should have been kneeling on the football. But anyway, Lacy comes back. He doesn't even come back at the beginning of halftime. Goes and gets his ankle taped up so he can play in the second half. And you know, again, fighting for the tough yards. And that's what he... And not only that, how many catches? Eddie Lacy caught three passes for 25 yards. Hey, and he scores the early touchdown. I mean, Eddie Lacy, what he's doing is... so much a help to the Packers. When Aaron Rodgers is out, you know, they got to rely on that run game just a little bit more, and Eddie Lacy's reliable. He fights like heck. He only gained 3.3 yards per carry, but, I mean, the way in which he did so, he could have been losing a lot of yards yesterday. But, you know, he's spinning. He's fighting off tackles. He's running to the sideline and staying in bounds. There was one play I remember when he was running toward the right sideline. And I, with the sprained ankle, with the shape Eddie Lacy was in, I couldn't have blamed him if he just ran out of bounds. But he stayed in bounds and fought like five Falcons defenders to stay alive and you know, push his way for as many yards as he possibly could. He didn't end up getting a first down, but I just thought it was amazing the way he fought to do so regardless. So, yeah, he breaks the record set by Sam Congato. Can you believe Sam Congato has a franchise record, or at least he did at one point? Most touchdowns by a rookie? Anyway, did I see we lost? Did we lose everybody? Tell me on the live blog if you can hear me. We seem to have lost some people over on the broadcast here. I'm not sure if it just started over and we're still live or not. So I'm waiting for confirmation. I can actually start the show over if I have to here. But yeah, I'm not sure what's happening. I'm going to start the stream over. Appears to just have been... Eric Young Smith says, I hear you, but you've been in and out. All right. Well, if you can hear me, I'll keep going. I'm not sure exactly what's happening, but I apologize, folks. Live stream just kind of started over for a second, I guess. But we are live here on Railbird Central at CheeseheadTV.com discussing the Packers' Sunday victory over the Atlanta Falcons. And the job they did and coming back from the dead, more or less, being resuscitated at halftime to come away with a victory over the Falcons and stay alive in their hopes for a playoff chase here. A little bit under the radar. That kind of concerns me here, and I want to discuss is the state of the Packers' inside linebackers that I think is kind of flying under the radar a little bit. All of a sudden, in the fourth quarter, the Packers suffer two injuries to the inside linebacker position late in the game. First to Brad Jones, and then to Jamari Lattimore comes to take over for him, and he gets injured just plays later, and the Packers basically down to one inside linebacker. Packers had a choice. They could either insert Victor Aweua, if that's his name. I don't even know how to pronounce it. He's kind of this backup the Packers signed a few weeks ago that's been playing on special teams, has not played on defense yet this year. So the Packers had the choice. Insert this basically rookie or first-year player or play more dime defense. And they decide to play more dime defense with only one inside linebacker on the field. Turns out to be the great decision because it's Jared Bush that's in the dime defense for the Packers, and he comes away with the two big plays at the end of the game. But, I mean, still, going forward, it's not like the Packers want to run dime defense for an entire game. They're going to need somebody back, whether it's Brad Jones or Jamari Lattimore, and hopefully both of them. But yeah, they both suffer injuries, both leave the game, and the Packers kind of really thin at that position now, kind of waiting to see what's going to happen to these players, because both of them have kind of fought through injuries this year. You'll remember early in the season, Brad Jones missed a couple games due to a hamstring injury. Jamari Lattimore just missed the last game on Thanksgiving due to a quadriceps injury. So to have these guys go down again, rather disappointing. And speaking of inside linebackers, how about how mad A.J. Hawk got when the Falcons offensive lineman, and pardon me for not knowing their names, or the, at least the one in particular one, in the second half, he dives after A.J. Hawk's legs at the second level from an angle, so he wasn't coming straight at him, and Hawk just goes ballistic. You know, he's going nuts and yelling out there, and good for him for kind of keeping his cool in that he didn't do anything stupid, like throw a punch or anything like that. He basically goes nuts. And hey, I thought that was fantastic for A.J. Hawk to do that, because it just drew attention to what was a very dirty play by this Falcons offensive lineman. If you want to dive at somebody, go ahead, but it better be straight on. But anytime you take any sort of angle and try to you know, block somebody, that's not cool. That's a torn ACL waiting to happen right there. So for Hawk to absolutely go nuts, I thought that was fantastic. Just to draw attention to the situation, to point out, hey, that was dirty and that's not cool. I think that was great because it had everybody watching Hawk and trying to figure out why he's so mad. And it really points out how dirty of a play it was. And so that really was just fantastic by A.J. Hawk. Kudos to A.J. Hawk, who had basically a good game in general. And you know, a lot of people had a good game yesterday, especially in the second half for the Packers. I was just going through some of the grades at ProFootballFocus.com, and for those of you listening the live edition of the show here on Real Bird Central, I'm going to try to tweet some of those superlatives out for the Packers after the show here. Who graded out the highest? Who graded out the lowest? A lot of good grades for the Packers yesterday, so kudos to them. As the Packers here, once again, like we said, staying alive in their hopes for a playoff berth as they try to win the NFC North, see the Lions lose. And you know, it's, I think everybody during the game was keeping tabs on that Lions game. And then you're seeing the highlights, and you saw that, of course, the player the Packers cut, Jeremy Ross, scoring yesterday. And everybody's kind of like, why did we cut him? It is disappointing because, you know, in his time in Green Bay, Jeremy Ross showed the raw talent, but, you know, made so many mistakes. I don't really blame the Packers for cutting him when they did. But it is so regretful now that you see him doing well in a Lions uniform. Be like, why couldn't you have done that for the Packers? Maybe if they had just held out one more week for Jeremy Ross, they could have seen that. But anyway. Letting bygones be bygones, I guess. It was tough to see coming. And talking about Morgan Burnett, too, who had one of the worst games of his career yesterday, he basically gave up both of the Falcons' first two touchdown passes early in the game. Morgan Burnett, you know, it's tough. A lot of people could say he didn't deserve the contract extension that he got, and I can buy that. But I don't think anybody saw coming as poorly as Morgan Burnett has played this season. You know, he had never really been a big play kind of guy who's grabbed a lot of interceptions, but he had looked solid the past two seasons. He wasn't the type of guy the past 2 years who had been getting beat multiple times in one game, you know, on these for touchdowns. That you didn't see that. So that's what's more disappointing than anything, is the total regression. You know, right now, I would do anything for the 2012 version of Morgan Burnett, the 2011 version, where he didn't come up with a lot of interceptions, but at least he wasn't getting beat. It's just so disappointing. Yeah, so definitely not good to see. But anyway, it's now past 9 o'clock here at Cheesehead TV on a Monday morning on a review episode. We'll be back again on Wednesday, our typical analysis day, and our weekly interview with our weekly Wednesday guest, Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. But anyway, folks, thanks for joining me here on a Monday morning. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caravu. We'll see you later. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for all your news needs all week long. And we'll see you in 2 days. I leave you today with a song called Freaker by The Speaker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. Go Pack, go.
Spinning around, how do you not get yet to fall down? Is that what happens when you feel the sound? But if that was me, I would be on the ground.